This is GCast number 68. The first time we've recorded two in a row in like 4 or 5 years, I think.
Don't lie, we've never recorded two in a
No, I
row.
think we had a good streak going there in like the episode the 20s, like the mid-20s numbered episodes. But yeah, it didn't really last that long.
That's mid-20s. We're on what? 80
60,
something?
68.
Oh, 68. I was saying we're in the 80s.
But yeah,
Post E3 cast.
yep, E3 is fully over now instead of being partially over on the last episode. What was y'all's favorite announcements?
That's a good question. Nothing really good got announced.
You're stupid. Chad, what'd you like?
Well, for me, it's technically it's not a game, but my favorite moment was the Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too, but they announced it 7 or 8 years ago, so
Killing it, Chad. Killing it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, it's not a game, but in fact, I almost wish it wasn't a
it
game.
never will be.
But I really love that trailer. Like just the atmosphere, like the music towards the end. I love the monkey. It was just a really good trailer. Like I was like, oh, I don't want you to make a game. I just want you to make a movie.
It was a little
And
too much
then
fucking.
I like all that. It was great. I
I don't
mean, Ansel getting up there and like crying. I was just like, oh, that was like the best moment for me at E3.
Well, so the current rumor is that Vivendi's gonna buy out Ubisoft, so bye bye Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he might be able to get the rights or something, and maybe it will be a movie. I mean, if you can make a Ratchet Clank movie, I think you can make a Beyond Good and Evil 2 movie.
Right.
See, I thought their strategy was to release a bunch of really shitty games and tank their companies so Vivendi wouldn't want to buy them, which is why we got Watch Dogs 1 and 2 and all
Hey.
those glitchy Assassin's Creed games. I don't know why I just pronounced it that way. I just
Watchdog
changed what I'm saying halfway
is
through.
a mystery.
Yes.
Don't
But the thing about
talk
the
mess
Beyond Good
about
and Evil
Watchdog.
2.
I was saying, don't talk mess about Watchdog. See, it was actually a good game.
Okay. The thing about Beyond Good and Evil 2 trailer for me though is I feel the same way about it as I do the second Death Stranding trailer, which is that I would love there to be a game, but even if there isn't, they gave us like one of my favorite trailers ever. I don't know.
Yeah,
You,
oh God,
like
that
with Death
baby.
Stranding, well, no, not the baby one. I'm not the one with Guillermo del Toro and Mads Mikkelsen and the
It has a
tanks.
baby.
Oh, yeah, he does have the baby. But like they could literally just keep releasing trailers for that game for the next 10 years, and I would be enthralled by them because I love that trailer so much.
Yeah, and Kojima, he spends a lot of time cutting his trailers, so.
More
Because he
time than
wants to
he
be a film
spends
director.
working on the
I don't know. Somebody at Sony said it was good, so it must be good.
game.
What's that guy's name? The guy who did the conference this year at E3. He played it. He said it was revolutionary.
Of course, he did.
Did you play Metal Gear Solid 5? Nope.
No, I haven't played 4 yet either.
Wow.
Three was really good. I just played that last year.
Yeah, I played it on
Wait.
Vita.
Isn't it the, was it 2007 or 2008 that MGS4 came out?
Probably 2008, because I don't think that was a first year PS4 title. Or PS3 title, I mean.
Getting up there.
Yeah, I'm taking my time.
Mean, I
I'm
still intend to go through all the Kingdom Hearts games before the third one even.
Oh,
So.
why would you do that to yourself?
Because I hate myself.
Those games are awful.
I love Disney.
I'm sorry, but I can't stand Kingdom Hearts. It's just not fun. The gameplay's not good. The story is convoluted, confusing, and silly.
All about feelings.
Yeah.
Just like David Lynch. In fact, Kingdom Hearts are the David Lynch movies of video games.
How dare you? I don't know, if there was a Black Lodge world in the next Kingdom Hearts game, I'd probably buy it.
So yeah, anything else? You guys like,
I'm trying to think of like actual games that got announced. I think the Shadow of Colossus remake looks really, really good.
Did that game need remaking though?
Yes and no.
I mean, part of the correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the reason I'm attracted to Ueda's works is because like there's like a deliberate like lo-fi quality about them, sorta. Like even if you like set the resolution to like 4K or something, it's like I think that's part of the charm and aesthetic, and I don't know, artsy fartsy, blah blah blah.
I would not call it a lo-fi quality. I would call it a minimalistic quality.
Right.
Which I think you can still maintain with an HD remake.
Sure, and but yeah.
The reason that I'm okay with them doing the HD remake is that the PS3 port was a little busted because they raised the frame rates without, like, really, like, the engine did not account for that. And certain bosses were made very different, even more difficult by the increased frame rate.
Hmm. Usually they make things easier in the HD remake.
Nope.
Monster World announcement was pretty surprising. Kinda, if you weren't following 4chan.
Yeah, or my insider information.
Or your insider information, which we learned about the day before.
Yeah.
Anybody going to get that? I'm probably the only Monster Hunter fan here. I think Stealth and Kumiko are also fans, but they're not here.
My Destiny raid group. I think we're all going to get it, although that would probably be too many people, so somebody's going to have to fuck off.
You're a Destiny player, Ryan?
Yes and no. I don't know. I dabble.
I don't understand. Like, I can understand. I probably have brought this up before, but I don't know. I can't understand people who put, like, hundreds of hours into the same shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's something unknown to me, I guess.
Well, I think it's different with Destiny compared to, say, Call of Duty, because yeah. Destiny has MMO qualities where you can constantly get new weapons that nobody else might have because of like the randomized rolls, mm-hmm. like all the different perks you get on your weapons and stuff like that, and scopes and whatnot.
Right.
And I think that makes it a little bit more malleable because you can just keep doing things that you've never done before and getting items you haven't gotten before.
Hmm.
Plus, as a co-op game, it's fantastic. I put it in the same category as Borderlands, where first playthrough single player is fine. If you keep playing single player, something is wrong with you. You need to get some friends to keep enjoying this game.
I don't need friends.
Fair. Destiny or Borderlands then.
Yeah. Anything intriguing from the Nintendo conference or keynote or whatever?
I'm really intrigued by Xenoblade 2.
Like, really?
I am, because the big thing that I'm really intrigued by that game is that it's not getting delayed. I can't believe a game that big is coming out in the first year of Switch. Yeah. And it looks pretty good. The concept behind it of like there's like this support character that's also your blade looks kind of cool. The UI still looks kind of busted to me, but I was kind of surprised. I was watching the gameplay. I was all like, you know, this looks pretty good. Like, I would actually probably get this if I had a Switch.
Did you play either of the other two games?
No, because here's my problem. With the first Xenoblade, everybody keeps talking about that it gets good like 40 hours into it. And I don't have 40 hours to invest in an RPG before it gets good.
Right.
Except for Final Fantasy 13, but that's a different
story. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, I love Final Fantasy 13. I love the Paragon system. It's great. I love it.
Have you heard about Final Fantasy 13-3? The game's so bad that even Lightning returned it.
Oh god.
Wah, wah, wah.
So
but you didn't play.
Anyway, back to
You didn't play Beck X was, either.
No, because that was towards the end of the Wii U where I didn't really care that much about the Wii U. So I totally just skipped out on Xenoblade Chronicles. I skipped out on Shin Megami Tensei.
X.
What's it called?
Hashtag FE or something. Sharp FE.
Yeah. Yeah, I really wish they just would have called it Shin Megami Tensei Sharp, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of skipped out on all those either. I did pick up the first Xenoblade on Wii when it came out. I guess that was kind of like a limited run thing. I put about, I'd say like a couple hours into it, but it didn't like super grab me, and I always intended to go back, but then by that time the Wii U had come out, and I was like, I was distracted.
I got it when it came out. It's still sealed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's probably worth something.
If I'm gonna play it, I think I might just get the 3DS version.
Do you have a new 3DS?
I do.
Okay. We
talked about that last week.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've heard mixed things that like in some parts it's better, but in some parts like the resolution hit really hurts it. So I don't know. I'd be interested in seeing your perspective if you did play it that way.
Yeah, I'm probably the most patient for JRPGs among the three of us.
Probably.
Except regarding Final Fantasy 13.
You don't have to be patient to enjoy that game. You just have to be like mentally deficient. Sorry, Chad.
Wow. This is Chad's last podcast.
I'm sorry. I'll tell you, Nintendo announced the Samus Returns.
Mm-hmm.
That looks cool.
It does look cool. A lot of people I know were freaking out about the developer Mercury Steam, who aren't really super talented, but the stream gameplay looked really good. You know, it's being spearheaded by, you know, the father of Metroid, whoever. I don't think there's anything to worry about there. But I did find it funny because I was typing up like a tweet. I was like, why did they even announce Prime 4 with just a logo? And then like as right before I was about to hit enter, they announced Samus Returns for 3DS. And I was like, oh, this is why. Because if they didn't announce a Metroid game for Switch, there'd be like bloody murder over them announcing something for their quote unquote last gen platform, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the same thing happened with Pokemon last week with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
Yeah.
Nerds are weird.
The thing about Samus Returns that I like, I've been wanting another side-scrolling Metroid for a while because I don't really care for the Metroid Prime games that much.
Hmm.
And I don't know, but I really do like Metroidvania games. Like one of my favorite indie games in the past few years was Rogue Legacy because it just brought back all those Castlevania feels.
Well, Samus Returns is a remake of Metroid 2. So I don't know, I'm not very familiar with Metroid 2, but it doesn't seem very Metroidvania-y, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. It's a side-scroller. That's the important part to me.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that, like, you know, the rumored Metroid Dread from 2004, like, we're finally getting a handheld side-scroller after all these years.
Yeah.
Wasn't Other M kind of side-scrollery?
No.
I still want to play that game because I just can't believe it's bad. Just something about Team Ninja and Metroid, it just seems like it should work. I just can't believe it's bad.
If you like action games and not exploration, and if you haven't played Super Metroid, and if you're not, I mean, you liked Final Fantasy 13, so you're
completely bored with
your writing. Yeah, it sounds like you might actually like it.
Yeah.
The problem with
another game I should get for my Wii U.
Oh, here, I'm looking. Teenage is a Ninja Gaiden. People, I don't really care for that series either.
But they also did volleyball.
Yeah. I see that.
Where's Metroid Volleyball? God damn it.
It's a good question.
Metroids as volleyballs.
It could work.
Um,
oh, that that makes me think of Dead or Alive, and then that makes me think of Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yes, that game looks
Fighters.
amazing.
Fighters. Yeah, that game looks awesome.
The art style looks really cool, and I'm glad that they're going back to the, once again, the sideways sort of, like more like the old Budokai games before it went to Tenkaichi.
Tenkaichi is the better series, but okay.
I highly disagree.
I highly disagree with you.
Okay, fair enough.
But this one looks more like of a serious fighter, and there was a lot of discussion I saw about how what was the joke I read? It was like one GIF of Dragon Ball FighterZ has more budget than all of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Because that game looks pretty terrible.
Are you sure you're excited for Monster Hunter World? Because Capcom has
Damn.
put out a lot of bad games. I mean, Resident Evil
Yeah.
7 is good, but I think it's only good because they scale the budget back and they
No,
focus on like that one particular area.
you're talking about
Like,
not trusting Capcom.
yeah.
I think, I mean, I'm still apprehensive a little bit, because of the some of the decisions being made, but it does have the main director of the past mainline Monster Hunter games. I'm not going to butcher his name, but it starts with an R, and he directed, Monster Hunter 4 and 3, and seems like the main team is building this one. So 4 Ultimate was great, so I think this one should be at least okay. We'll see.
Okay, so I guess Capcom has the ability to put out two good games, Resident Evil and Monster Hunter, and that's
Yeah,
all.
that's all they really need to do.
Resident Evil seemed like a fluke, to be honest. Like it
Resident
was
Evil
a
7.
fluke that it was. Yeah, it looked like a fluke that it was good. I mean, it's I mean, I'm biased, and I still have my don't buy Capcom games new, only buy them used policy because of what they did to me years ago.
You mean Mega Man Legends 3?
Yes, I mean Mega Man Legends 3. Never forgive, never forget.
Didn't Mighty Number 9 make up for it?
I was never interested in Mighty Number 9, so I didn't feel like the horrible disappointment that everybody else had, but dang, what happened with that game?
You don't trust your man, Inafune?
I like Inafune. I just didn't want another. I didn't see the point of another side-scrolling Mega Man game. And it seems like he's lost the confidence of pretty much everybody with that game, so
Yeah.
it seems like he's over. So that's a shame, but oh well.
Wasn't there's also like there was like a Mega Man Legends-esque Kickstarter a while back. I don't know if he was
Yeah.
involved in that.
He
Is
was
that
involved, and it was going to be a spin-off of Mighty Number 9,
right?
and it was one of the shadiest Kickstarters I had ever seen, because he was not getting money to fund the game. He was getting money to additionally fund the game in addition to the $3 million he was getting from some Chinese company or something. It was, I don't know, it just looked weird.
Speaking of Kickstarters, I think Project RapRabbit, which I might have brought up last week, the Parappa the Rapper revival-esque thing has 20 hours to go, and it's like 10% funded, so
Did they bring
well,
Tuber
probably not
back?
going to make it.
Yeah, I don't. How much money are they trying to get? Let's take a look here. Oh,
Million,
yeah. That's not going to happen.
$1 million.
No, I mean, like, Kickstarters will usually get most of their money in the last 12 hours, but I don't think it's going to get to
Right. I think
over a million.
it only gets to that point if like it has the momentum to carry it there. This one kind of lost all its momentum after the first couple days.
It's a shame.
I think what also hurt them is that they announced the project first, and then they said it was a Kickstarter instead of just coming out with it.
That would turn a lot of people off.
Yeah, and they also like from the corner of the universe that I operate in, I saw a lot of people being mad that like Switch was like a $2 million stretch goal or something like that. And they're like, why do you need an additional $1 million? So I think they tried to fix that on like day three, but people are already giving up.
Yeah.
Poor
It's okay.
Kickstarters.
I mean, Guitar Man and, well, I don't really care much about Prefer, but Guitar Man's a really fun game, and it would be nice to see them do something else, but.
It seems to me that the most successful Kickstarter games are isometric RPGs, like Pillars of Eternity and Tides of Numenera. Because generally they're made by teams that already know what they're doing because they've like made games in the past. Like and it's not just like one guy who made the game and a bunch of newbies like working for him. It's like the whole team gets together. So it's I don't know.
What was Dennis Dyack's Kickstarter? He had one that didn't really work out, I think. Well, anyways, I think also like obviously retro platformers are big. Bloodstained Symphony of the Night was pretty overfunded, if I remember right.
But that mean what I mean is that remains to be seen
Right,
because
if
it's not
it's,
out yet.
you mean if it's successful from a gameplay perspective?
Well, I'm talking from both perspectives, really. Okay. Oh, he's trying to do a sequel to Eternal Darkness. Dennis Dyack was. Well.
Mario looks pretty good.
I
I
don't know.
love the meme that came out about how you throw your hat on the frog and then now you're the
The thing about the new Mario that bugs me is in the pictures where he's looking up at his hat and his hat's looking down at him, but the bill of the hat is in the way, and it's like they're not looking at each other. There's a big wall between them.
That's the one issue you've got
Yes,
with the
exactly. Exactly. It's like I just ruined the whole game for me.
Ryan, this is why we have you on the podcast.
Yeah. There was let's we could talk about Detroit Become Human.
Can we?
I don't know. I mean, I've never played one of their games. Never played Heavy Rain, never played Beyond Two Souls, and what was the one before that that was
Indigo
weird?
Prophecy?
That one, yeah, I never played that one either.
How did you get away with Nick? I mean, how did Nick let you get away without playing Indigo Prophecy?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, he's tried to get me into a few things. He made me read Kurt Vonnegut one time, and I was kind of about that too. So I think he stopped it. He told me to watch the 2009 Star Trek movie back in 2009, and I got around to it in like 2015. So I think he stopped like recommending me things because I am not good at following through on them.
Would say Indigo Prophecy and Heavy Rain are worth playing. I haven't played Beyond Two Souls. The only thing I really know about the game is that at one point Ellen Page just starts playing a David Bowie song on acoustic guitar.
Well then.
I heard you could hack the camera so you can look at her nude in the shower.
Oh God.
Don't ask me how I know this.
Wait, playing acoustic David Bowie covers, is the game, is it like based on The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou?
No, it was from it was
I know.
Lost Cause from
I
Key Change.
It's based on Juno.
Juno.
You
It's a movie
saw.
where the baby grows up to be some sort of weird ghost thing.
AKA Willem Dafoe.
I
The
don't think
ghost
those are
and
the
Freddy
same.
Krueger.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, do you really think that Michael Cera has working sperm? Come on. To be honest.
doesn't have to
Well,
be working with Chad.
I
Heyo.
mean, ooh. Or I'm sorry, I mean Wally Brando.
So he's not showing up anymore?
No, he came for that one scene.
That scene went on for so long.
I know, but it was hilarious because he's dressed up like
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando, yeah, the Marlon Brando in that one old movie, and the whole thing was a tongue-in-cheek joke about how motorcycles aren't cool anymore when they were thought of as being so cool back in the original Twin Peaks.
But even, I mean, James is always a lame as
hell. I was going to say that. Isn't that the same episode where she says James was always cool?
I think that was the end of the previous episode. I think that was the end of episode two.
Okay. Well, the movie's... I mean, my point remains, the whole show was filmed as one giant 18-hour movie.
Right.
And so, like, the fact that those two scenes are so close together tells me that I'm right in my assessment.
I think that we're going to turn this into the Twin Peaks podcast right now.
Okay, let's talk about, let's see here, the new Uncharted game looks cool. Not really a whole lot to say about that.
There's a new Uncharted game?
It's a spinoff.
What's it called?
Lost Legacy or something like that.
Yeah,
is that like the Vita game?
No, it's just a spinoff about two side characters in the series that it was originally planned as DLC for 4, but then they realized that money. They wanted to make a game that was bigger than that, so it's just an entire standalone downloadable Well, it's $40, so it's not like it's up from the 20 it was originally going to be. However. Sure. Because I got the season pass, I paid the 20 and I get the game without having to pay the extra. Good for me.
Good for you, Ryan.
Yeah.
I guess the new Battlefront is making people happy.
They got three developers working on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust DICE after playing Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Did it break your heart, Chad?
Yeah, it did. Like, it was like I started playing it and I was just so dumbfounded by how they could get the movement so wrong. Like the feel of the game, which was like the whole point of the first Mirror's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I turned it off like after about 2 hours, and like my only words was all like, I just fucking hate EA. Like,
I get you.
So what was the what's the point of Catalyst? Like, it's kind of big, but kind of not. Like,
it was a prequel?
Was it a prequel?
Yeah.
I thought it was like prequels.
I thought it was a soft remake.
Nah. And the thing about Mirror's Edge is that it was one of those games that just focused so much on gameplay. Like, the story would kind of came secondary. And then they totally spun that around in Mirror's Edge Catalyst, where they were trying to do all these cutscenes, and they were trying to do combat too, which was like the thing everybody hated from the first Mirror's Edge.
So what you're saying is it had the same problem that like modern Sonic games have. They slowed down the gotta go fast and just put in a bunch of story bull crap.
Yeah.
Because Mirror's Edge is basically Sonic for grown-ups.
I never thought of it like that, but that might be why I liked it so much.
First person Sonic with guns.
Well, hardly guns. You pick up a gun, drop it, and run.
Speaking of Sonic games, Sonic Mania is coming out in a couple
months. Oh, God, is that really a thing?
Sonic Mania looks great.
I don't know. I'm just surprised that Sega hasn't given it up on it yet.
I mean, Sonic Mania looks awesome because they took one of, like, they're fan hackers and like gave them a budget and a development team to make a 2D Sonic game.
Oh, that actually is kind of a cool idea.
Because I remember there was like Sega in the early, well, like all throughout the 2000s, they tried porting the original Genesis games all over the place, and all their ports were like super shitty. And then there's like, you know, the fan scene, which ported them. Like Sonic CD to PC, and it was like basically flawless. So they're like, "Ah, we give up. You go do it." And so they started working with him again. And I mean, I guess there's a lot of shade thrown in the latest Mania trailer because they have like this '90s animated cartoon of Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles going into an elevator. And
Jaleel White in it.
No, unfortunately, they couldn't get him.
Oh, you lost me.
Generations or whatever. None of them speak, but they have like the floors, and it's like 1, 2, 3, K, and M. So they skip right over Sonic 4. Sonic 4 does not exist. That game bombs so bad.
Speaking of Sonic, did you hear that Sonic Comics got canceled or something?
I did hear that. And there's a lot of hand-wringing.
That is some funny stuff. What do they call that? Schadenfreude? Chad, enjoy watching the suffering of others.
Chad, weren't you an apologist for Sonic the Hedgehog 4?
Yeah, and I never even got around to buying episode 2. I wanted that to be good in the same way of New Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
But
the problem with I had like a bunch of problems with it, but the biggest one was like, don't make it episodic, you know.
Well, it seems to be working for Square Enix.
Is it though?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess not. I mean, Hitman, I guess, got bought by IO.
That's true.
Which probably the best thing that could have happened to that franchise.
But like, Final Fantasy VII Episode 1 isn't going to come out until like 2022 or something.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know. I'll buy it still. I'm a glutton for punishment. I don't know. Square Enix.
I mean,
let
you
me
like
down.
Final Fantasy VII. We know that.
What? Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought you were gonna say that there's something wrong with that. I was like, all right, Chad, what's wrong with Final Fantasy VII?
It's ugly. It's poorly translated.
You're right.
It's too emo.
No, it's not. If you actually played the game itself. Final Fantasy VIII was the one that got super emo. I can't. Even though that game is visually better looking, it's the story is stupid and it's very emo.
Squall, I'm dying. I don't care.
Or no, it's whatever.
Whatever.
So did you watch the whole Sony conference, Andrew?
I did not. I just picked up on the highlights. From the announcements, it seemed better than the Microsoft one, but based on like how they did it, I guess, in person, it was kind of awkward and lame.
Mm-hmm. There was not a lot of big announcements either, though.
Right.
It was kind of – so, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a good conference, but it wasn't a bad conference.
Mm.
Did you see the trailer for – it was a VR game called The Inpatient.
Mm-mm.
That looked pretty cool. It looks like it's some sort of horror game in a mental asylum, and I immediately thought, like, oh, that's something that you would like.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Can the PlayStation Slim do PSVR?
Any of them can do PSVR, I think.
Because I'm getting a Slim later this year for a couple games.
Yeah, it's just that the Pro does it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Like, they all, because to avoid motion sickness, they mandated that every game has to run at least 60 frames per second. So even the, like, Slim PlayStation 4 will do that. It's just the PlayStation 4 Pro. It can run the games a little bit faster. And I think it actually runs the games at a higher resolution. And so even though the headset's only 1080p, since it's kind of like super sampling it, so it looks a little bit right. better.
Hmm. How much is that still, like, $500 or whatever?
I don't think it was ever 500, was it? Let me see.
Yeah, I think just the headset is $499, and
oh my $500. God. Jesus.
Yeah.
No, it's $400.
I don't think
$400 for just the headset.
Yeah, I don't think I want VR that much.
Yeah, me neither.
But you need the Move controllers, and so the bundle was like $500.
I've already got two.
Do the batteries still work?
I think so.
Might want to check on
I
that.
I didn't use them a whole lot. I don't know. I haven't used them in forever. I barely used them at all. I played House of the Dead and No More Heroes. That's about it.
Mm. Which House of the Dead?
Overkill.
Is that are those games available on PS4? What's the backwards compatibility?
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever? None that really whatsoever. Sucks.
Unless you get what's that, PlayStation Now or whatever, and you stream the game, I wouldn't even bother, though.
Hmm. That's lame.
Yeah. It's good, though, because, you know, if there was backwards compatibility, I'd probably be playing New Vegas again.
That was Microsoft's whole thing, the C3.
Yeah, well, that see, the problem with the backwards compatibility is that, well, I mean, I guess the Xbox One X is like a new edition of the Xbox One, and they probably will have Xbox One X exclusive games eventually. But the problem is that they are competing with themselves. They're like the Xbox One, the One X is $500, and I feel like everybody's gonna, when Christmas time comes around and it comes to getting a console for your kid, they're gonna see the One X for $500, and then they're gonna see the One for $200 or $250 or whatever, and be like, oh, well, it plays the same games. Like, why would I spend twice as much on the One X?
Yeah,
I think it's a bad move.
I would be curious to see if any PS4 Pro or Xbox One X exclusive games start popping up. There were like a handful, like Xenoblade, of exclusives for new 3DS that old 3DSs couldn't play. But there were like very few and far between. And in the 3DS's case, that's because like it was like such outdated technology that to port it, they really needed that power. Whereas like, what extra are you going to get? Like 4K 60 FPS maybe, but then couldn't you just like dial it down for the lower end consoles? I don't know.
Exactly. Which I mean, I don't see personally the point in the PS4 Pro either, unless you are getting the VR and you want to have that extra.
Unless you're a millionaire with two jobs.
Yeah. It's I think that I don't think I think this might be Microsoft's last console generation. I know that's kind of a bold statement, but
yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's one of their most successful divisions, but they've just been kind of bodied this generation.
I think they, the big thing that they did that worked for them for the 360 was they released it a year before the PS3. And it was a lot easier to develop for.
Yes, and it was also like half the price. So I think Sony's arrogance back then kind of helped them a lot. When Sony kind of got Kutaragi out of the way and kind of like released
Mark Cerny,
Slim dropped the price. I think PS4 is sitting at like 80 million consoles sold right now, which is pretty impressive.
I mean, they were smart enough to learn from the mistakes. So
right, they turned it around pretty dramatically, like Nintendo did with the 3DS. But I don't think releasing a more expensive console is quote unquote turning it around for Microsoft.
No, not at all. I think I read an article back when the PS4 originally came out where Mark Cerny said that his whole goal when designing the PS4 was to shorten development time as much as possible. So you could develop a game for the PS4 very quickly without having to put in all this extra time so that it would be much more attractive to make games on the PS4 and also to port games to the PS4. So that was a smart move.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was lip service, but I do think that was one of Nintendo's goals. Maybe not. They didn't call it games specifically, but they definitely called out engines like Unity and Unreal Engine 4. They wanted those running really well on the Switch. Can't ignore developers, you know, as Ballmer said back in the day. I think we bored Chad to death.
Maybe a little bit.
I mean, I was just going to say on the Xbox One X, I think you're right, Ryan. I think, in fact, I don't think there's ever been a successful console at $500. A lot of people forget that there was actually a $500 PlayStation 3 at launch.
The 60 or 20 or whatever?
Yeah, it was only $100 more than the Xbox 360, and it came with Blu-ray. And, like, you know, like they had a lot of enough things to upsell people on it, but it still failed, even at $500. And so, you know. I mean, the only thing that Microsoft really... Oh, you can finish.
Oh, I was going to say, even as a 4K Blu-ray player / cable box, I don't see spending $500 on it. Yeah, on the Xbox One X.
The Xbox One S can do 4K Blu-ray.
Oh, can it? Yeah. I didn't even know that.
And the PlayStation 4 Pro can't.
Yeah.
Genesis does what PlayStation don't.
What were you saying, Chad?
Oh, I was just going to say, what was I going to say? I forgot.
Xbox One X.
Oh, yeah. Xbox One X. So I don't really think it's going to be all really that successful. And, you know, like you said, like the Xbox One S being like essentially half the cost of the system, it confuses people. And I think the naming also confuses people too. Like, at least with Sony, it's like, this is the Pro PlayStation 4. I mean, Pro, like, it's not like you're going to run Photoshop on it, but I mean, it's professional.
Yeah, no other OS.
Yeah. And it just overall to me, I'm really down on Xbox. So like, the OS, it's still bad. I still have to force close the YouTube app every time I open it up. It's still slow.
Wait, you have an Xbox One, Chad?
Yeah, I have Xbox One.
Huh. You don't have a PlayStation?
No. I think we talked about this in the last episode.
We did.
Yeah, I was working for Xbox customer support. And even though they give us an emulator, I felt that I needed to actually own the system to, you know, help customers with it. So I went out and bought an Xbox One. And
did you at least get a discount?
No, they don't give discounts for that.
Did you? Did you get which model?
The original.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that Microsoft made you their bitch?
I mean, it's different when you're getting paid. So I was.
You're getting paid, but you. No. I mean, like, you still had to pay full price for the Xbox, even though they were letting you play the games.
Sort of, yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought we were all part of the PlayStation family, or going to be.
Well, I want to get a Pro towards the end of this year. And I kind of want a different color, maybe white, maybe blue, something besides piano black.
Mm. That gold one looks awesome.
And it's $50 less. I can't understand why it's $50 less.
Just get it. Don't question it.
I don't know. It wouldn't match any of my stuff, though. It looks kind of tacky.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. Our president has taught us that gold is the only color that matters.
Well, I've been putting ketchup on my very well-done steaks lately.
Oh, God.
And it's terrible. It's just terrible.
There was a game that did catch my eye. It's an open world survival horror, Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Cthulhu's, I think it's, I don't know. No, but look, I think it's made by the same guys who make those Sherlock Holmes games.
Hmm.
Wait, is this a sequel to the original Xbox game, Call of Cthulhu?
No. I don't believe so. It's just,
I heard that game is really good.
I don't know. I don't know. The first person Lovecraftian horror game. It looks interesting. I might play it.
Hmm. Yeah.
So wait, if you don't have a PS4, do you mean to tell me you've never played Uncharted 4?
I have not played Uncharted 4.
Oh my God.
I mean, it did just come out, didn't it?
Like a year and a half ago.
What? Wow, I'm out of it.
Wait, now, when did it? Was it August of?
It was probably November of last year.
Okay, yeah, man. Yeah, okay, it wasn't a whole year yet. Never mind.
Yeah, so I definitely want a PS4 Pro. I've been longing for it. And, you know, it's just like this past year, like, crazy things came up in my life where I couldn't really get a PlayStation 4 Pro or even had time to play games. Hmm. And now I have plenty of time to play games. And so I definitely want to get one. It's just a matter of getting around to it.
You should get a Switch so that you can take it anywhere when these things come up.
I almost got a Switch. because
what the hell was that noise?
This is about a month ago, and Titanfall 2, GameStop put it down for $20. And as I was walking in, they had a big sign saying Nintendo Switches are in stock. And this was like when, well, I guess it's still pretty much technically out of stock in most places. And I asked, I was like, oh, do y'all really have switches and stuff? She was all like, yeah, we have both colors. And I was thinking about it. I could actually afford it, but I was all like,
Oh,
nah.
that would have been so cool. We could have been playing Mario Kart together.
Well, that's the thing. I don't really like Mario Kart that much. I
We could be
don't.
playing Zelda
Well, I
cooperative,
already have Zelda on
not
the
really.
Wii U. And so it's kind of all like, I already bought Switch's best game on Wii U.
That was your first mistake, Chad.
You're like one of them people who bought Twilight Princess on the GameCube.
I have
Wait.
Twilight Princess HD and I've only played 1 hour of it.
I need to beat Twilight Princess HD. I think I put like 20 hours into it already.
I think I just bought it for the Amiibo.
Chad, are you gonna get the DLC for Zelda on Wii U?
It come with little microscopic germ things?
Amiibo.
That's pretty good. Are you gonna get the DLC, Chad?
I might, but then it's also kind of all like if I do get a Switch, I probably would just get Zelda, and it's confusing. So, I mean, I didn't really pay that much attention to the story DLC. Does the story DLC look interesting?
They haven't really showed many details about it. It involves the champions somehow. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah, if you get the Skyrim amiibo, you can play as the Dragonborn in Breath of the Wild.
Think you have that mixed up.
I know.
I might get Skyrim. I've never played it before.
Eh. I mean, I say eh, but I've put so many hours into that game, even though I kind of have a love-hate relationship with it.
I'm actually kind of more interested in playing Morrowind, so I might just, I don't know if that's available on Steam or anything, but I might just pick that up.
Yeah, Morrowind's on Steam. It's
Sounds like
good.
a
Not a
decent game.
good beginner's RPG, I'll say. I don't know how many Western RPGs you play.
Zero.
Yeah.
Gotta jump in feet first.
I guess so.
I've not played any of the Fallout games despite really wanting to.
Yeah, play 1, 2 in New Vegas.
So
Skip
just
three and
start out
four.
with three.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have differing opinions.
Well, like, notice I skipped 3 and 4, but I also skipped Tactics Brotherhood. Because I don't really care for that one either, even though that one's one of the old ones.
Need to
Because the
get
story's kind of
Andrex
dumb.
on the right path. Let's start him off with Todd Howard games. Get him used to.
Todd Howard, get him used to the awful writing and being able to go climb that mountain in the distance.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with this Todd Howard person.
You can see that mountain, you can climb it, guy.
He's a very polarizing developer.
I
You might assume he's kind of short, kind of has interesting hair.
He's like if you crossed Peter Molyneux with a slow child.
Oh.
That's very mean.
Because he's
And
short
Peter Molyneux is
and
already a short
slow.
child.
Did you say Peter Molyneux is already a slow child?
Yes.
You know Peter Molyneux is afraid of puppets? Fun fact.
Isn't that what he
He's
is?
ter he's no, he's terrified. Oh, damn. No, he's terrified of puppets.
Oh, that's sad.
Interesting. It is sad. I think it's probably the driving creative force behind all this video game.
It was just an executive.
I don't know. I think no, didn't he? I think he's a lead developer. He did
I'm getting him
God
confused even
Hand.
more.
No. Peter Molyneux. He did God Hand and Fable.
Fable.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do God Hand.
Did he do God Hand?
No, he did beat
Black and White. Black and White.
it
I get those two movies or two games mixed up.
was
I said God Hand. I meant
Black
God Hand's the fighter. Okay, I'm Black and White. I got that mixed up with some other game with the word God in it.
Please tweet that at Shinji Mikami. I mean, Matt, wait.
I loved you. I loved Fable. Make another one, please.
Oh my gosh.
Is it going to be Fable DLC in the new. Yeah. Is it going to be Fable DLC in the new. Whatchamacallit? Evil Within?
Evil Within? What about it?
Oh my god, am I getting developers mixed up again?
Wait, I messed up. It's Kamiya who did God Hand.
Kamiya did God Hand. I thought you were pulling something out of nowhere, Chad.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah,
sure. Let's tweet it at Shinji Mikami just because. Just for fun, you know? Just because. I don't know what you're talking about.
I promise our listeners we're not drunk.
Maybe not.
All two of them.
I don't know. I drank a whole Coca-Cola Zero just now.
Wow. You're really
feeling it, yeah.
Yeah. You're really off the wagon.
Caffeine. Yeah.
All right. I think that about wraps up for tonight.
I guess so.
Yeah. Thank you both for showing up, and look for this posted sometime tomorrow.
And next week we're going to talk about Twin Peaks.
Yes. Even more. Yes. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.